and it's just fine. Well, as I said earlier, for the next while, I'm planning to have a particular focus here on Sunday mornings of Luke's Gospel. And that's the third of the Gospels, the biographies of Jesus we find in the Bible. And we'll probably keep coming back to Luke over quite a while, spending some weeks in it, and then we might go and look at something else, and then we'll come back to Luke and so on and so forth. And in a sense, Luke's Gospel will be our project, and Luke will be our guide through that. And this series will be called A Certain Person. A Certain Person. Because above all, as Luke guides us through, he will be showing us a particular person, a certain person. Someone who he wants us to meet, to understand, and to know more and more deeply. That's Jesus Christ. So today we're beginning a substantial and rich journey, not only in a kind of new phase of our church, but with this this journey through Luke's Gospel, with this wonderful guide in Luke. Personally, Luke's one of my favourite authors in the history of the world, but as well as that, and more than that, there's another guide we need. The one who guided Luke as he wrote the Gospel. That guide is God's Holy Spirit. So will you pray with me now as we begin this journey? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your Son who poured out the Spirit upon us. We do pray in your mercy that by your Spirit you would be at work in us, illuminating for us these words which you have inspired. Help us to see Jesus today as we consider this wonderful Gospel of Luke. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen. Certainty. Being certain. How does the old saying go? There's only two things that are certain in life: death and taxes. That's how it goes, I think. And yet, some people are very certain about lots of things. Some people are very certain about all kinds of things, and sometimes even some people are certain to a level that's dangerous. Terrorists are very certain about the kind of things that they're willing to kill and die for. And because of that, a number of people, particularly in our culture, are nervous about the idea of certainty. They find certainty kind of worrying when people are too certain. Now, if that's you, and I don't know if that's any of you, but if it is, if you're nervous about certainty, then you might be a little bit disturbed by the way Luke starts his gospel. If you've got a Bible, it is worth having it open. And whenever I preach, just to set the thing, if you've got Bibles, they're worth having open. We're looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, because this is where the authority is primarily, and I'm helping us understand it. So Luke wrote this gospel for a particular reason, which we see in verse 4. He wrote the gospel to a person called, the end of verse 3, Theophilus. And then he wrote it, verse 4, so that you may know the certainty of the things you've been taught. Luke's writing to give certainty. That's his reason for writing, to give certainty. But we'll see both today and throughout Luke's gospel, it's not a certainty we need to be nervous about or worried about. It's a good, life-giving certainty that he wrote to give. It's a bit like a certainty that a child should have of their parents' love. That's a good certainty, isn't it? Every child should be able to be sure that their parent loves them. Well, the certainty Luke wants to give us is like that, but even better, more wonderful. It's a certainty that's for everyone, for you, for me. Luke was writing to Theophilus. Theophilus may have been a new Christian, or he may have been someone who'd heard some of the story of Jesus, heard some wonderful things about this intriguing person, but he wanted to know more. Either way, it seems that Theophilus wanted to know if he could really believe this. Was it true? Could he be certain? Well, Luke wrote his gospel so that people like Theophilus, people like us, can know the certainty, the wonderful truth of the story of Jesus. That's why he wrote. But he also shows us not only why he wrote, but why he can give certainty. Some people are certain about things and they're wrong, aren't they? Some people are certain about things, but they're wrong. Luke shows us why he can provide true certainty. He shows us the reason that he has for certainty. Look again at verse 3 with me. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. See, the reason that Luke can give certainty is that he's done the work of investigation. He says it himself. He's the inspired author saying that. I've done this work of investigation. I've carefully investigated from the beginning. Luke knows what he's talking about. You can imagine if I said to you, come over to the hall this Thursday night. I'm going to give you a 2-hour presentation on how to do your taxes. And of course, you'll say, yes, I'll come and listen to you for 2 hours on doing your taxes. But then someone might wisely ask me, Chris, what do you actually know about doing taxes? And I'd have to say, not very much, actually. I'm a minister and a musician, and that's about it. But I thought I'd just talk to you about doing your taxes. Now, if that happened, you probably wouldn't turn up. And if you did, it would be because you felt sorry for me. That's very kind of you. Thank you. But you certainly wouldn't do your taxes based on what I said. Because I haven't done the work on it. I'm not an expert. I don't know what I'm talking about. Luke is not like that. Luke has done the work. He's carefully investigated. He's followed the story through from the beginning. So he knows how it goes. He is worth listening to. But someone might ask, how does he know? It's fine for him to say he knows, but how does he know? He can say he's done the investigation. What investigation has he done? Well, he tells us. He tells us in verses 1 and 2. Have a look at them again with me. Verses 1 and 2. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were from the first, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. By those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. There's two things here that are key that show the ways that Luke investigated. The first is there were other accounts around. That's what he says. There were other narratives, other stories. Many have undertaken to draw up an account. In other words, others have already done this. And one of those other accounts was, almost certainly, Mark's gospel. Another biography of Jesus in the Bible. It seems very likely that Luke used Mark as one of the main sources of his own gospel. Luke, like any good historian, because Luke was a great historian, like any good historian, he went to other reliable sources and he used them in his investigation. So that's the first thing. There were other accounts. But second, even more importantly, there were the words of the eyewitnesses. All the little stories that make up the big story which Luke's going to tell us were handed down by eyewitnesses. In fact, it was the stories from the eyewitnesses that contribute to the other accounts, like Mark's gospel. And some of the eyewitnesses that were mentioned by Paul, you know, we had the reading from 1 Corinthians, and Paul talks about those who saw the Lord Jesus. Well, some of them are the same people that Luke's talking about, those who'd seen the Lord Jesus. And Luke's term here, in verse 2, he says these eyewitnesses handed down what they'd seen. These things that were handed down to us by those who were eyewitnesses. That word handed down, it's a technical term for carefully passing on an oral tradition. There's lots of cultures around the world that have this ability to very carefully pass something on from one generation to the next. We're not so good at that in some ways, orally, so we don't realize how good they can be at it. But some cultures are very good at it. And the Jewish culture that the earliest Christians came from, they were very good at it. That's what happened with the early stories of Jesus. But someone will say, hang on a second, what about Chinese whispers? What about the telephone game? Some people call it. You know the game that kids play where someone whispers something and then it goes to the next person, they whisper it and around the same. By the end, it's completely different. It started out with something, it ends up completely different. And some people will say, well, maybe that's what happened with the Gospels, like Luke's Gospel. Maybe the story changed each time it was told as it was passed down over the generations. And actually, if you look on the internet or you watch the TV or you read the Da Vinci Code, you'll find that the stories about that's exactly what people say about the stories of Jesus. And I want to say there's probably people in Rangiora, people in North Canterbury, who think that's exactly what happened with the Gospel of Luke. or with the other Gospels. And, to be fair, that does happen with some stories that are passed down over hundreds of years and over many generations. They get embellished and changed. But that's not the case for Luke. Luke was writing within 30 to 50 years of the time Jesus was walking around. So even if you just think about that, at most that's time for one or two generations of passing down. But not only that. In verse 2, it says the eyewitnesses became what? They were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. That is, Jesus gave these eyewitnesses, the people who saw the things that Jesus did, Jesus gave them a particular and special job. He gave them the job of telling people his message, telling people what they'd seen and what he did. And so these eyewitnesses were telling the message of Jesus, telling the stories, right up until about the time Luke wrote. So if someone did make a mistake in passing the story along, or if someone did make something up, the eyewitnesses were there to say, nope, that's not what happened. We saw it, it was different to that, we know what happened. So there wasn't time for the stories to develop and change, and there were eyewitnesses there to correct them if they did. You start to get a picture of why Luke could write so confidently about certainty, the certainty of the things that Theophilus had heard, the certainty of the story of Jesus. But there is one thing even more important for Luke than having the eyewitnesses around, and that is what the eyewitnesses saw. Luke doesn't just want Theophilus to be certain about some random true facts. So I could tell you, for instance, a random true fact, that in the when I was at primary school, in the North Canterbury Musical Society's production of Snow White, I played a particular dwarf. Can you guess which one? Yes, it was Dopey. I played Dopey in the North Canterbury Musical Society's production of Snow White in primary school. I was there. I'm an eyewitness. There are other people I can point you to. My teacher, John Bangmer, was the director. I can point you to him. They can tell you it's true. That's a true fact. It might explain one or two things about me, but it's not actually going to change your life, is it? The certainty that Luke shares, the true things that he is sharing, will change your life. They will change your life because he's telling about a story that changes everything. It's about, verse 1, the things that have been fulfilled among us. He wants us to tell us about things that have been certainly fulfilled. He wants to tell us about fulfillment in at least a couple of ways. There are at least two important senses of fulfillment in Luke's gospel. Firstly, there's the individual Old Testament promises, promises of God that are fulfilled. We see lots of these as we go through Luke's gospel, like from our Isaiah reading this morning. The expectation of one who would prepare the way for the Lord. We'll see that fulfilled in Luke chapter 3 when we get there. And there's lots and lots of those little individual promises that we'll see fulfilled in Luke's gospel. But there's another sense to this fulfillment, an even bigger sense. See, in Jesus, Luke is going to show us the fulfillment of God's whole story, which is the story of hope for the world. Luke will show us how Jesus fulfills the hopes of Israel, God's people, who had suffered so much. Because of their sin, they were conquered and ruled by superpower after superpower, the Greeks and the Romans and others. But now as Jesus comes, their hopes for freedom and redemption, for release from oppression, for forgiveness of sins, these hopes were being fulfilled as Jesus came. And Luke's telling them about that. But not only that, it wasn't just Israel's hope. This was a fulfillment of God's story of hope for the whole world. Salvation and freedom for the whole world. We'll remember this at Christmas in about a month's time. This little child that was born means hope for the whole world, for all people. Hope for people here in North Canterbury, for our neighbours, for the people we get on with, for the people we don't get on with, for our relatives, for those we work with. This is hope. This story is hope for all of them. And these things really happen. The things Luke told us, telling us about, we're going to see through Luke. They really happened. And so there is hope, certain hope, for the whole world. Hope for the forgiveness of sins. Hope for being brought to God. Hope for meaning in life. Hope for an end to hopelessness. And for real life, even beyond death. Because this certain story, that Luke is telling us about, and we're going to see. The certain story is above all about a certain person, Jesus. Luke has investigated. He knows the truth about it. He knows that Jesus is a person we can be certain about. And he knows that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's story of hope for the world. By the way, that's worth saying, by the way, that's why the Bible is so central to what we do here. I was so encouraged as I looked at the St. Peter's of the Rock website to see what you've been saying about yourself, see what you've been saying about this church. You say that we are a biblically grounded, prayerful, Holy Spirit-led Christian congregation. You say that our final authority and unchangeable standard for Christian faith and life is the Bible. That's so encouraging to me, because what we have seen today with the Gospel of Luke is just one example of the trustworthiness of the Bible. We can trust the Bible because it speaks the truth about Jesus, and we need to keep on hearing it and hearing it, because it tells us the story of Jesus, which is the story of hope for the world. And this certain story we need to keep hearing and being shaped by as a church. Keep being ready to be changed by the things that we hear. Changed in what we do. Changed in the way we are. Because this story will fill our hearts and minds, and it will shape us with God's story of hope for the world. There is this hope found in this certain person, Jesus Christ. And not only as a church, but also for each of us individually. This certain story that we're each invited into by Luke. So as we look at Luke's Gospel on Sundays, you are invited into it. If you've known Jesus and been following him for many years, and some of you have been following him for longer than I've been alive, well, if that's you, Luke is ready to show you Jesus more deeply, to give you more certainty about the one you know, and about just how important he is for every detail of your life. Are you ready? Are you open to Luke doing that here on Sundays? Or if you've been coming to church for a long time, but actually, if you're honest, you keep Jesus at a bit of a distance, you're not too certain about him, well, Luke is inviting you to see that this is the one person you can be certain about, and that it's a wonderful, life-giving certainty. Or if you are someone who's just finding out about Jesus, maybe you're working out for yourself whether or not you want to follow him. Well, if that's you, I'm so glad you're here, first of all. And Luke is inviting you to see that there is a very good reason to think that these stories that you've heard about and these hopes you might have heard, they are real. You can have certainty about him, and therefore you can have certainty in life. Are you going to accept Luke's invitation? Are you ready for that? Are we going to be ready to hear this certain story? To look at Luke's gospel each week, eager, ready to hear what the eyewitness has handed down, what Jesus has fulfilled and what he's still fulfilling. Are you ready for that? Are we? John Newton was a slave trader who had caused untold suffering to many African lives. He famously became a Christian and wrote Amazing Grace. When he was 82 and very near to death, he said this. He said, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I'm a great sinner and that Christ is a great saviour." That's the kind of certainty that Luke is wanting to give. Certainty about the things that matter most. And he also said, had written to his wife sometime earlier, and he said, "How wonderful must be the moment after death." That's the kind of certainty that Luke was writing to give, because it's the certainty about this certain person, the Lord Jesus, the hope that we have in him for ourselves and for the whole world. May he make it more and more real to us. May he teach us this wonderful truth about Jesus. Let us in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your servant Luke, for the Spirit who inspired him. And thank you for these wonderful words in Luke's Gospel, encouraging us to have certainty about the Lord Jesus, to have certainty about the hope that we have through the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the hard work of investigation Luke did, and that you were working through. Thank you for the truth that we can know about Jesus through this. Please help us to have humble, open hearts as we consider the Gospel of Luke, as we hear you speak to us today through it. Please bless us that we would know all the more the wonders of our Lord Jesus through this wonderful gospel. We pray it in his name. Amen.